Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at robertsrobinson.com.
We're so pleased to say we have Kevin Harlan on this episode of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. You'll hear him talk about his career, his future, and his game that he's calling Saturday night, the Green Bay Packers and the San Francisco 49ers. Kevin Harlan, one of the legends in sportscasting in America and a longtime friend, is with us to talk a little bit about everything. I think you'll find it very interesting with Kevin Harlan on this episode of KKHI. Also, we preview the Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills. We break down the matchup, we look at the numbers, and we tell you who we think is going to win. All this happening on a week where linebacker Willie Gay has been arrested on misdemeanor criminal property damage charges after an incident with his girlfriend at their apartment in Overland Park. He smashed up a vacuum, a cell phone, and a humidifier, was arrested. Nobody was hurt. No alcohol, no drugs. We shall see what happens. We'll also talk about the other playoff games where in Tennessee, the Titans are taking drastic measures to make sure Bengals fans don't pack their way into the game in Nashville on Saturday. And in Tampa, Tom Brady talks about the key to his success in the postseason, and it's extremely relevant to the Kansas City Chiefs. Brady says his key in the playoffs is something that is the key for the Kansas City Chiefs this year. Find out what that is. We'll also spend some time talking about Joe Biden and the global reaction to his meandering news conference and how it's made things more dangerous and unsafe for all of us. Kansas Senator Dr. Roger Marshall has a new t-shirt poking fun at Dr. Fauci. It's available on his website. We'll tell you how to get your hands on one and why Dr. Marshall is treating Dr. Fauci this way. And we say goodbye to rock star Meatloaf, who has passed away at the age of 74. It's all on KKHI, brought to you by Window World, simply the best for less, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs. If you're headed to the Johnson County Homes and Garden Show this weekend, swing by the Window World booth, ask for John, and say, hey, John, appreciate you being on KKHI. Or if some of his team members are there, ask him how their trip was to Mexico. He took the whole company to Mexico. This guy's something else, man. These business owners and sponsors of this podcast are really something else. John's terrific, and Window World is simply the best for less. They have 0% financing available. They'll do a free analysis for you and an estimate. Doors, siding, of course, their world-famous Window World windows with a lifetime warranty. Call them at 816-799-0820 for your estimate this spring. Anywhere in Kansas or Missouri or Iowa, it's Window World, simply the best for less. The official windows, the Kansas City Chiefs. MisersSports.com, the official apparel maker of KKHI. Daryl Miser and his team can do the same for your company, whether it's embroidery for business or personal, uniforms for your little league team, letter jackets for your teenager. They do it all at Miser Sports in the Northland. 816-741-8622. Ask for Daryl. They're online at MisersSports.com. MisersSports.com. Very active with Heroes Among Us, KC.org, a wonderful group that helps veterans, heroes among us. It's pretty obvious what that group is, and Daryl's awesome with the work that he does there. Again, MisersSports.com, M-I-S-E-R-S, sports.com. And Amazing Garage Floors, Hutch and his wife are a mom and pop if there ever was one. These are great American patriots that will seal your driveway this spring to add years of life to it or give you that brand new Amazing Garage Floor. This is no longer a luxury, guys. Your garage floor needs this. It's actually good for the floor. It protects the floor, too. I talk about the ease of use and how nice it looks and how it makes your garage a more livable space. It's also protecting the concrete in your garage from pitting out when you're driving in there all the time with salt and sand and all the grime and oil and stuff. This really just should not be a luxury. This should be part of everyone's home. An amazing garage floor. They're not as expensive as you think. And John would love to come out and talk to you about putting in an amazing garage floor. 913-901-7139 for amazinggaragefloors.net. All right, we got a lot of Chiefs news, and Kevin Harlan is here on KKHI. Hit it!
Back 9 Development is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at back9development.com.
All right, here we go. Big finish to the week, and you will hear from the great Kevin Harlan coming up in just moments as we had a great conversation with Kevin on Thursday, which is available in its entirety for all the patrons at kkhasissues.com. A lengthy, long conversation. You'll hear a piece of that coming up in just a little bit. He is just terrific, terrific conversationalist and wonderful sportscaster. We have news this playoff week with the Kansas City Chiefs as they are getting ready for their division round game against the Buffalo Bills, the fourth game in 15 months. A couple of off-field things worth note. We'll start with the bad because it's been really such a positive week. I feel like every podcast we've done this week has had such a positive slant on it. We'll lead with the garbage here and then move on and just have some fun. How's that sound? Willie Gay has been arrested, as you probably know by now, on misdemeanor criminal property damage charges in Overland Park after an incident, and this is classic. You know, you got to start digging around to find out what actually happened because the straight, I hate to say straight news reporters because that's probably offensive to say someone is a straight news reporter. That is not their sexual identity. That means they just do hard news or straight news. The straight news reports report that Willie Gay and his ex-partner got into it, which I believe, this is just, you know, grumpy old Kev. I believe that's an injustice to the man, unless he, if you're, I mean, I don't know where the term partner came from. I believe, my personal belief, and I'm probably wrong about this, what I believe is partner came from people who didn't necessarily want to be identified as gay or say boyfriend or whatever, but that's not what this is. This is now about gender identity and all this other stuff. So the news reports read that Willie Gay had an incident with his ex-partner. We have learned that that is a female ex-partner, and they have a three-month-old son together. They got into a fight, no drugs, no alcohol. They got into an argument. He broke a vacuum, he smashed a cell phone screen, and he broke a humidifier. She's unhurt. There were no alcohol and drugs involved. My guess is what... Look, the podcast thing is weird. A lot of you don't listen to this live. You may be listening to it on Saturday, whenever. I don't know what the Chiefs will do. My guess is that Willie Gay will be cleared and play and whatever, if that's what the Chiefs want to do. They're not going to let this incident stop a player from playing in a playoff game that they want to have play. Now, maybe Willie Gay is marginal and they don't care and he won't play, but to show you how little regard the Chiefs have for these things, we know that what Frank Clark did in the offseason, and he's pushed everything back until this upcoming offseason. And on the same day that Willie Gay is arrested, the Chiefs signed defensive back Damon Arnette, who's a first-round cornerback draft choice of the Las Vegas Raiders in 2020. Damon Arnette was cut by the Raiders earlier this year after he posted a bunch of videos or was caught on video brandishing a gun, waving it at people, and threatening people with a gun. Let me repeat this. The Raiders cut a player who likes to play with guns and threaten people with guns, and the Chiefs just picked him up. He can't play this year. This is a futures contract, is what they call it, a reserve futures contract. And the Chiefs, of course, will believe that they can get him some counseling, teach him and coach him, and that he'll be no threat to anyone in Kansas City, even though he likes to wave guns at people and put videos out there threatening folks. I don't get me started. And it's not even about this year. Whatever. Anyway, we'll see what happens with Willie Gay. This is not a make-or-break player for this game, but Willie Gay at times this year has looked fast, physical, made some really nice plays. We'll see. My guess is if the Chiefs like him in this game plan and want him to play, that Willie Gay will be playing in the division game against the Buffalo Bills. All right, so here we go. Here's the facts of this game. This is the fourth time in 15 months, as we mentioned. The Chiefs lost 38-20 in Week 5. There are some other things on the side here in addition to negative things. They're positive things, but they are existing. Eric Bieniemy on this Friday is interviewing with the Denver Broncos to become their head coach. That's the offensive coordinator less than 48 hours from kickoff. We'll be tied up speaking to the Broncos about their head coaching position. And let me put this in a nutshell, because I don't think Eric Bieniemy is the greatest head coaching candidate. You know that. It has nothing to do with his skin color. I say this as a joke, but I mean it kind of tongue-in-cheek, because nothing really is funny or gets you to think unless there's some truth in it. But I really want to ask Eric Bieniemy, I just want to know, do you get paid for all these interviews you're doing? And at some point, shouldn't you get paid? Because this has got to be like 20 head coaching job interviews now for Eric Bieniemy. Remember, there is a rule in the NFL that every team with an open head coaching position must interview a minority candidate. It may even say African-American. I don't know, because that's where it started. But now it could be minority, whatever that may be. Maybe that's a woman, too. I don't know. I don't know exactly what the Rooney Rule states at this point, but it should be inclusive to all those people. I just wonder if Eric Bieniemy isn't starting to feel used by some of these teams and doesn't feel like, okay, here we go, Denver Broncos, they're, you know, ho-hum, I'm going through the motions, I'm doing this. I wonder if he gets paid. I mean, at some point when you say, look, if you want to interview me, it's going to cost you $10,000. Send me 10 grand and I'll do your interview. I mean, if you add up all the interviews he's done, it seems like he should have made some money off of them because the NFL's checking boxes here. I feel like this is the year he has a great chance to get hired. I'm not sure he's any better candidate this year than he's ever been. I'm not, but I feel like the pressure's ratcheted up and it's going to happen. There are all kinds of other great black candidates out there. Tom Brady's offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator in Tampa. There are minority candidates everywhere. Flores, the guy who was let go from the Dolphins, is very high up the food chain on the Giants job. There's all kinds of minorities are going to get hired here. And they're qualified, and they're ready. They look like the next best candidate. Both of them in Tampa look that way, to be honest. So, I don't know that that makes Eric Bieniemy some prime candidate this year, but I just kind of off the top of my head thought, you know what? He should charge people. He really should charge these teams for doing an interview. How many interviews has he done and not gotten the job where clearly a team is just checking a box? Okay, we talked to Eric Bieniemy. Scratch that itch. Let's go hire Joe Judge or something. I don't know. I say it tongue-in-cheek, but I also say it truthfully. Back to the game. Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills. Here's what the Chiefs are up against. This is a rematch of the AFC title game from last year. The Chiefs lost the game earlier this year. The Chiefs had 4 turnovers in that game. They are not going to win any games going forward where they turn it over 4 times. Period. End of statement. Josh Allen was phenomenal. He had a 139 quarterback rating in Week 5. And the killer was he ran for 59 yards and a touchdown. You can't let him do it. The Buffalo Bills have the number 1 total defense in the NFL. They have the number 3 total offense. There are 8 teams left in the NFL. Statistically speaking, if you throw it all in the computer, it says the Buffalo Bills are the best team left. I state in the interview with Kevin Harlan that is up for the patrons right now, I told him I believe this is the AFC championship game. I believe the team that wins Sunday night at Arrowhead will be in the Super Bowl. Obviously, that's no giant leap. You got a 50-50 shot either way. One of them's going to win and play either Cincinnati or Tennessee. So you've got a 50% shot of being right just by saying it. But I do believe these are the 2 best teams. I think they were the 2 best teams last year. I think they're the 2 best teams now. The only reason I don't think Cincinnati is the best team is because their defense has just been so porous at times this year. They can get behind. They can get bogged down. They had a big lead last week. The Raiders crept back into the game and actually had the ball first and goal with a chance to tie the game and go to overtime. That was the Raiders in Cincinnati. So there's still some things structurally that are a little weak with Cincinnati. Although when I do my picks here in a couple of minutes, I think you'll be surprised where I'm going with some of the outcomes of these games. But I believe this is the AFC title game. I believe the team that wins this is going to wind up in the Super Bowl. And I believe if you're a Chiefs fan and you listen to this podcast, that Buffalo is the team you want to be good and to win. They are filled with conservatives. Josh Allen is an outward conservative. Many players on the team are unjabbed and have gone through a lot this year. They've been very active in social media and spreading the word around the very liberal state of New York, mostly because of New York City, but spreading the word, we're unafraid of the crap, the peddling of fear that you have. We're unafraid of that. We think this is silly. Players don't go to the hospital with COVID. This shouldn't be affecting the NFL. And I also talked with Kevin Harlan in the interview about amazingly how quiet things are in the NFL with COVID. Have you noticed that the playoffs are here and COVID is just gone from the NFL? Shocking, huh? They get down to the really most important games where all their money is made, the big ratings come in, where the league really makes it, and we don't hear spit about COVID from any of these teams. Remarkable, because we're hearing it everywhere else. I think the NFL realizes Omicron is nothing. We're not doing this. I don't know what they've done behind closed doors. I don't know what protocols they've changed. It's been a moving target all year, but we sure aren't hearing anything about COVID, are we? We are not, and I love it. So it is on with the playoffs. Okay, before we talk about those other games, first let me mention our friends out at B-Stock. can get you a television and deliver it today or tomorrow in time for the game Sunday night. If you get on this, they're guaranteeing next day delivery. If you buy a television or purchases of $1,000 or more at B-Stock here in the Kansas City area, they will deliver it absolutely free. It's at your house, set up, ready to go. Boom, done. Awesome. Bstock.net. You can visit them, call them, buy the TV over the phone, the web. They'll deliver it in Kansas City. Same day or next day delivery to get it there by Sunday night on any purchase of $1,000 or more. That includes the Samsung Frame TV, of which I have one. I have the smaller one. I have the 55. They also make a 75. The 55 sits in my new bar. When you're not watching TV, it's really cool. You put artwork up on it. It looks like a picture frame. And you can put anything you want up. I can put a picture of a golf course, my dog, me and Jessica on our honeymoon. You can put anything up there. My kids when they were little. Any kind of picture just goes right. It looks like a picture. It looks like a picture on the wall. Samsung Frame TVs are cool. And B-Stock will deliver those absolutely free. Wanted to get that out of the way and get you excited to watch on a new television. If that's what you want to do, our folks at B-Stock can certainly help you out with that. So Kevin Harlan's a good friend, and I've known him for a long time, and I don't wear him out and have him on every week on the podcast, but we have him on, as you know, two or three times a year to talk football. I enjoy talking broadcasting. I like catching up on our families. Our daughters both went to the University of Georgia. So we've got a lot in common here, and it is a really tremendous conversation. It is a lengthy conversation. The entire conversation is up for the patrons at kksissues.com. This is part of the patron program. You can hear the entire interview. If you join as a patron right now, you can hear all of it. I'm going to play a nice chunk of it for you. We talked about broadcasting. And, of course, the game he's doing this week for Westwood One National Radio is San Francisco at Green Bay. So he's headed to Green Bay Saturday night to call the Packers game. His dad used to be the president of the Packers. Kevin Harlan grew up around the Green Bay Packers. He's got two teams. Chiefs and Packers, he's going to have a hard time if they play in the Super Bowl because he won't know where to turn because he's got so much history with both those organizations. But we were talking about the industry and how it's changing and how streaming is coming along and Apple and Amazon are buying up sports. And Amazon is apparently trying to hire Al Michaels to do Thursday Night Football next year, take him away from Sunday Night Football and do Thursday Night Football. We learned in this interview that Amazon has reached out to Kevin Harlan. We talk about his future in broadcasting. I believe he's been very loyal to CBS through the years, and TNT did the NBA game last night with the Suns and the Mavericks on Thursday night. The Suns win again at Dallas. So Harlan goes from that NBA game to Lambeau tomorrow night, just bounces around from one sporting event to another, and he is known for this. I start the interview by calling him Mr. Worldwide, which we know is Pitbull, but that's kind of what Kevin Harlan is. He's just always traveling, always working, always flying. And we got to a real point of this conversation that took me by surprise. We were talking about, you know, our daughters going to Georgia and some other things like that and talking about the industry and Amazon. And I was very surprised to hear, and we just talked about how I'd moved from radio to podcasting and how that's grown and what that's doing. And I was surprised to hear these comments in the direction of the industry of what Kevin Harlan is thinking right now in his career.
To work long, to live to work, I just don't think is the best way to go through life. And I have, you know, a lot of definite plans with my wife, and we've got a third grandchild on the way. But I would like to work a little bit. Football seems to be the perfect element too, because it's just 18 weeks, and you do one game a week. It really would work nicely maybe with that kind of a world and just enough challenge and just enough, you know, notoriety to satisfy whatever box you need to check in your own life, but not too much where you're gone so much and wearing down and living on planes. So I'm kind of getting to the end of where I am right now and looking forward to whatever that next step may be. And it may involve less work. And if it does, so be it.
I'm not your agent, but I got the plan for you right here. You stick with CBS, Okay. You stay with the NFL, and you do that, and then you tell them, you know, I'm really not that busy the other 6 or 7 months of the year. I'll go ahead and do the Masters for you if you want me to do a hole at the Masters. And I'll be your producer or your statistician or anything absolutely free. I'll pay my own way. I'll stay anything you want, Kevin. I'll be your foot shuffling porter for the entire week. You need coffee? I'm going to get it for you. You tell me how this works, and I am there for you, my friend.
We'd have too much fun. We'd have a blast. That would be so much fun. You know, the golf thing, which I at one time thought maybe I'll get involved in that because I played a lot as a kid and as a teenager and in college and just out of school, haven't as much since I've gotten married and had a family, and then my schedule went a lot. But I you know, but now they're hiring former golfers to be on there, and that's what they should do. Golf is, there are enough people that can talk it well, and CBS data, so they're going away from the broadcaster. You may have a host, and Jim's the best that's ever done it, and I don't know if we'll ever hear or see of anyone that will do it any better than him. But everybody else is, you know, they've been professional golfers. They played, they know the business, and that's what viewers, listeners want to hear. They want to see and hear what they have to say.
I'm an old guy, man. I like professional broadcasters, and I know you can take a golfer and teach him a lot of stuff, but if I think Masters, I think of Jim Nance and Vernon Lundquist. I mean, just right out of the gate, those are the first two, and they didn't play any golf. To my knowledge, I mean, they did. Nance was a college golfer or whatever, but they're not former pros right out there. I mean, you know, what Nance and Lundquist have meant to the Masters is innumerable. You can't, they can't put a price on that, what those guys have done. So I disagree a little bit. I mean, as I've watched this league go by, you know, for me when I was a kid, it was Howard Cosell. His impact on the NFL was enormous. We just lost the great John Madden, who of course was a coach, but he did so many different things. I think if he hadn't been a coach, he might have still been a broadcaster. He may have been. So, I don't know. I think about the most iconic voices and what has really built these leagues into what they are. For me, they're not typically former athletes. They're actual broadcasters who are just great at a very specific craft.
Well, you love the business. I love the business. We grew up with those voices in our head. We can still hear those voices, you know, Summerall and Ray Scott and Kurt Gowdy and Aldi Rogatti, like all these wonderful broadcasters over the years. Denny Matthews in our head with the Royals all those summers, and that'll never go away. And so, you know, there's a role certainly for broadcasters, but life is changing. The business is changing, as we were just going over. And I think as it goes around and around and around and up and down and over and back, I guess you just kind of hope that you can find your niche, your place in that big landscape of broadcasting, and then you know, have satisfaction of it. Like, you're not, it's not a grind, it's not a drudgery. You'd like no job to be that. You'd like every job to be something you do as your hobby. And quite frankly, I'd probably do a lot of this as my hobby anyway. I began that way. I was unpaid when I was in high school doing games, and when I was in college doing games, I wasn't getting paid, and I enjoyed it, but I never even thought about, you know, well, what kind of money will I make? I was just thinking, where will my job be when I get out of college? That's what I thought of, you know, what, but not what I would make, because I loved the job so much. I didn't care where I was going to go, just as long as I was doing games. Yeah. And I've always thought like that was the best gift my dad ever gave me. He always said, if you enjoy what you're doing, you'll never have to worry about what you're getting paid or the hours you put into it or anything like that, because you enjoy the job so much.
You would just be driving around in your 74 Camaro doing one NBA game after another for free, right?
I probably would. I wish I had a 74 Camaro. Right. That would have been great. Right.
Probably worth a lot of money. So you're in Dallas for the NBA.
Right, exactly.
You're in Dallas for the NBA Thursday night, and then this weekend you're in Green Bay for the Saturday night special, 49ers and Packers. I know you're busy, and we're going to get through this here and get you on your way. I just want to touch on each of these games if you have any thoughts. I know I've been to Lambeau a couple, three times. Can you explain to me what it's like in the playoffs and what kind of pressure do the Packers have, especially Aaron Rodgers, to get to the Super Bowl this year? They've got the 49ers on Saturday night.
Well, Garoppolo's health is a concern. I guess he's torn a ligament in his thumb. His shoulder isn't right. So he may be, you know, really curtailed in what he can do, but he's been very important for them. He's been great. I've never really been across a more maligned quarterback who continues to win. His starting record is unbelievable, and he's been terrific. When he's not injured, he's been really, really good. And they drafted a kid high in the draft as Trey Lance, and he's going to be, you know, they think the next great quarterback, and they've got the right people there to teach him. But Green Bay is going to get back a lot of important parts, and their quarterback is playing at a high level, probably an MVP level. And they've got dynamic weapons on offense. They're getting back their all-pro left tackle. They're getting back a couple of pass rushers on defense. And I think of all the teams, Kevin, all 14 teams that began this, seven in each conference, I think the most scrutiny has been on Green Bay because of Rodgers. They don't know what he'll do after this year, what they'll do with him after this year. And he's only been once, and he's 38, 39 years old. He's only been once, and he's a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback. So, like everyone said, all right, you know, now you better start getting on this thing here, or it's going to pass you by, and you're going to look back, and you're going to have gone to one and won it, but that's it, one. So I think all the pressure's on Green Bay.
Wow, just great stuff from Kevin Harlan, as you can imagine. And he's got that Packers game tomorrow night on Westwood One. We break down all the games in the complete interview. We go through the other three divisional round playoff games as well and talk about much more before we got to this cut. It is a very long, in-depth interview with Kevin Harlan, not some little drive-by thing that you may hear in a short segment or something on the radio. It's in-depth. It's great. He is a smart guy. He knows everything about the NFL and broadcasting, and it is, you know, it's never the interviewer. It's always the subject. And Kevin was in rare form. He was ready to do the interview. He was excited. He opened up about a lot of topics you've not heard him speak about. It's a tremendous interview. It's up for the patrons at KKHasIssues right now, KKHasIssues.com right now. And again, if you'd like to sign up to become a patron, it's just $5 a month. You can hear this premium content there. Love to have you jump on board, listen to that entire interview, unlock the whole week of podcasts leading up to this Chiefs game. We have Danny Klinkscale, BTL 2.0, breaking down the Chiefs game and talking about all those things. We have the other podcasts from earlier this week, the Patreon podcast, and you'll get the newsletter this weekend as well if you join today. Go to kkhasissues.com and hear the entire... It's worth the $5 this month just to hear the Kevin Harlan interview. I'm going to tell you right now. It just is. It just is. And we're going to be doing more and more interviews and premium content at the Patreon site. We'd love to have you join on board. Go to kkhasissues.com. Click on Become a Patron. And you are there, locked, loaded, and ready to go. Okay, let's talk about the other playoff games. The Tennessee Titans, to me, are an odd team this year. Any team in the AFC can win this. So I'm not going to fall off my chair if the Titans make it to the Super Bowl. But I've said this week many times, I believe they have the least chance of making the Super Bowl of any AFC team. I believe that. I don't believe in Ryan Tannehill as the guy that will win the game for you at the end of the game. And I think this is the time of year where you have to have that. We know who those teams are. We know Tom Brady's done that a lot of times. We know Aaron Rodgers has done that, but not a lot in the playoffs. We know Patrick Mahomes is a stud at that. There are players alive here that we know can do it. I still believe, even though they haven't gotten to the Super Bowl, that Josh Allen and Joe Burrow have a better chance of carrying their team in the last couple minutes and winning a game than Ryan Tannehill. Maybe the Titans know that. The Titans have home field advantage, and they have changed their ticket policy for this game. They are so afraid of people flooding down from Ohio and taking over their stadium in Nashville, where, by the way, in Nashville, it's hard to entertain people. It's hard to entertain them. It's hard to get them to pay these prices to go sit out in the cold to watch a football game when they spend their money in Knoxville on Saturday afternoons watching their Tennessee Volunteers that they love, or the music. They got more music events than Vegas. People are readily entertained in Nashville. Now it's cold. It's the playoffs for sure. A lot of Tennessee fans would say, I'll wait until next week. It'll be the AFC Championship game and spend my money on that. This is a bit of a weird ticket for Tennessee to be selling right now. Even though they're the one seed, even though they love their team, some of these things can be hard tickets. For Cincinnati fans, not so much. Right now, they'll spend money anytime, anywhere, any place they're in. And they are flooding Nashville without tickets. This is amazing. The Titans changed their policy to try to keep Bengals fans from coming to the city and said, you cannot resell your ticket until 24 hours before kickoff. So Bengals fans that are on the road right now as I'm recording this from Ohio to Tennessee don't have tickets yet. They're only going to be open in the last 24 hours. They're trying to deter these people from coming. This would be a great immigration policy for the Biden administration. The Biden administration should take cues from the Tennessee Titans. We're trying to keep Ohioans out of Tennessee. We want our borders locked down. We don't want anybody from the Queen City coming down here. They are scared to death this crowd is going to be 50-50, and it may be. And there were, my guess of the Chiefs game was 15,000 Chiefs fans in Nashville earlier this year. It's a relatively easy drive. The roads were flooded with Chiefs cars and whatnot, and everybody went. And look, NFL fans like to travel. There's going to be a boatload of Buffalo Bill fans here. You want to talk about people not afraid of a 38-degree day? Buffalo fans are not afraid of Sunday Night Football at Arrowhead. It's going to be 40 at kickoff. 40. That's summer for Buffalo. We will see shirtless Bills fans at Arrowhead. They will think this is balmy. They're coming. They have money. They've waited. They're coming. There will be a lot. If you're going to the game, pipe down. Bills Mafia's got something going on now. Don't be starting fights with those people. Those Western New Yorkers are tough. I've been there. I've seen it as blue collar. They love their football team, and they will be here. The Chiefs haven't taken any dramatic measures. We do really well here. It's not the destination Nashville is. If 5,000 to 10,000 Bills fans find their way in, we can live with that. You know, I think our problem, well, it certainly wouldn't be in the playoffs, but the problem would be somebody close. There's nobody in St. Louis anymore. The Bears wouldn't come here in the playoffs. What's Denver? The closest thing. You could play them potentially, but this is not a disaster for the Chiefs, but there will be Bills fans here. They are scared to death in Tennessee that this thing's about to be a crap show on them with a bunch of Bengals fans in their stadium. In Tampa, Tom Brady has unlocked the key to the Chiefs' path this year when commenting about his own career. This is why you listen to KKHI. This is Tom Brady's best. You want to know why Tom Brady is the GOAT? It is not his statistics, really. We know that only 11% of his playoff wins in his career have come with bad defenses. Other than that, he's always had a top 10 defense. That's how you win playoff games. You're a great quarterback and you have a great defense. That's the best formula. Patrick Mahomes has never had a top 10 defense in the playoffs. So he's gone at it the hard way. Josh Allen does. And he's coming to Kansas City with the number one defense in the league. The Bills, everything on paper says the Bills are the Super Bowl winner. Everything. Everything on paper. Everything on your screen, everything, every computer, everything. Everything statistically says they've got it. They've got the franchise quarterback. They've got the number one defense. They've begun running the ball. He's mobile. All those things. That, to me, that doesn't guarantee anything. I'm just telling you the makeup, what they look like. So they're asking Brady in Tampa this week, what's the deal here, man? Seriously, how have you been able to win? What has been the key to your success in the postseason to all this winning? And he said, our key is we've been very good at avenging regular season losses. And he just started talking about it. We know the history. He lost to Peyton Manning in the regular season, but he beat him in the postseason. Same thing with Roethlisberger and the other good teams in the AFC. It happened a time or two with Kansas City. And I thought this was fantastic to hear him say that we took games where we lost in the regular season, flipped them around, and beat those people in the postseason. Well, lo and behold, the Kansas City Chiefs sit here with a game Sunday night against the Buffalo Bills, where the other three teams left in the AFC have all beaten the Chiefs in the regular season. All of them. There's a lot of people pointing to Buffalo, saying, look, they didn't beat any good teams this year. Their schedule strength wasn't that great compared to the Chiefs, things like that. I'm like, yeah, but the rest of the league doesn't matter at this point. It's an 8-team league. And to whittle that down even more, it's a 4-team league. It's the AFC. And the bottom line is the Chiefs lost to all three of these teams. The Chiefs have the pedigree. Is Patrick Mahomes Tom Brady? Are Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes Bill Belichick and Tom Brady? If they are, they avenge these losses. They get matched up in consecutive weeks against teams that beat them in the regular season, and they beat them both and go to the Super Bowl. That's what Tom Brady has done. That's what he's done. That's what Belichick has done with him, and now they're doing it in Tampa. That's what they've done. And that's what the Chiefs have to do. And I thought it was a very interesting comparison this week to hear Brady talking so much about that and where the Chiefs are. KKHI is brought to you by 360 Document Solutions, online at 360documentsolutions.com. I'm not going to go into a lot of great detail, but Mark Lindquist has shared a personal story with me about his company. And I just want you to know that if you work there or you do business with these folks, you should, because for Mark, his company is his family. And I'm not gonna say anything more than that, other than they had something this week happened, and it's a very personal thing. And Mark is, if I were a younger person, I would love to work for Mark Lindquist. I would be honored to work for this man and work for this company. I truly, truly would. They're accepting applications. They like conservatives. They like young people. He's hiring a lot of folks in IT, customer service, sales. But mostly, your business should do business with their business. They're that. You just know that he's this kind of guy. That's all I'm going to say about 360 today. No other details. If you want to call Mark and consider doing some business with them, 913-745-5344, online at 360documentsolutions.com. Ron Buck's been a personal friend of mine for years and years and years. He's just fabulous. Buck Roofing is Kansas City's go-to roofer. You know all about that. You know they do free roof inspections. And you know you'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. Dr. Jeremy, the same way. Fry Orthodontics, he wants to have us over for dinner here at some point in the next month. And he's got a wine cellar. He's really into wine. And we gave him a what I thought was a nice bottle of wine for Christmas. But, you know, wine he's got, I don't know. I just hear all my friends say they really like this particular kind of bottle of wine. So I got him a nice bottle of wine. He took a marker and he wrote our name on it from Kevin and Jessica, Christmas 2021. And I was like, well, isn't that nice? And he shot a picture of it and he put it into his wine cellar and said it was there. He says, we're waiting for you to come over and have dinner. And he says, and I'll even have a Michelob for you, Kevin, because I really don't drink wine, but my wife loves wine. And Jeremy and his wife love wine, and so I'm kind of the odd guy out. I don't know. Maybe I should learn how to like it a little bit or appreciate it. I don't know. I'm the old dog. That's a new trick. We'll see. This old dog knows that Fry Orthodontics is the place to go anywhere in the Midwest if you want that beautiful smile like my daughter has. From Fry Orthodontics, where your smile is just the start. And Finch Knife Company online at finchknifeco.com. If you'd like to check them out in person, go to Teague Tractor and Farm in Belton and keep life from getting dull with Finch Knives. Beautiful pocket knives, guys. Just gorgeous pocket knives. Pieces of art. They're fantastic. Anywhere from about $79 to $150. They have 6 to 8 new designs every year. Some people get every single one of them and collect them, and other brands as well. Great thing to collect. These are beauties. And this is a Kansas City company born here in Kansas City. Just a couple of guys on the side doing their thing. They're only 2 years old. We're really proud of them as a startup business. Social media will not take their advertising, so they're on KKHI, trying to get the word out to people who may like pocket knives. Online at finchknifeco.com. Okay, the global reaction to Joe Biden's news conference is a disaster for the United States. Strong countries are feeling emboldened. Weak countries, and Ukraine tries to act like they're strong, but they're weak compared to Russia, are now afraid, scared, left in the dark, feeling like they're worse than that, feeling worse than like your girlfriend left you. You're like, what just happened here? What did Joe Biden just do? Did he just invite Russia to invade? The global stock markets are retreating. We have inflation all over the world. Look, it's almost like Democrats don't care or understand that what the United States does sets the tone for the entire world. They don't like that. They don't like that that's the case. They want a one-world scenario where we're just another country. I want American exceptionalism. I want America for the next 1,000 years to be the country that is bigger, better, and greater than all countries on earth. And as we go, the world goes. We will lead. We will show you the way. Other countries should aspire to be this. And right now, that's not the case. And now people are asking, are we no longer the greatest country on earth? That has never been a question in my lifetime. That hasn't been anybody's question, really, probably since when? The Industrial Revolution for 100 years? World War I-ish? Has anybody really asked what the world's greatest nation is? I don't think they have. We could be getting toppled from number one right now. We've destabilized our national security. We have open borders. We have incredible inflation. We have a stock market that, you can call it a correction if you want, but the gains that were made under Trump. And, you know, when you go, when you catch a wave, when you're surfing and you're really good out there as a surfer, you catch that wave way out and you ride it. And even when the wave dies and there's nothing really left, you're still on top of the water and you're sort of floating. You're still, it's not really surfing. You're still on your board and you're getting closer and closer to the beach and you're just kind of riding it in. That's really what's happened with Biden the last 8 or 10 months with the economy, the stock market, all of those things. This was really all Trump, and it has to be corrected by Biden's policies. We've seen what's happened. Gas prices were the first thing we really noticed. Prices went through the roof. Now people are freaking out. We still have the great number of people that are, you know, leaving their jobs, doing something different. It's all got to be reset, and these are the wrong people to reset it. And all these stocks and all the markets, everything went up so far. Investors came back after the holidays and said, you know what, this is bad. And if you don't think, you know, we could sit here and say, oh, there's this and this, this and this is why the stock market went down again on Thursday. And, you know, this is the reason, this is the reason, and all these other things. You can do that. But if you don't think Biden's news conference was part of it, I can't help you. We've dropped a lot. The markets are down here the first of the year, and a lot of this is Joe Biden. It is. It's not just fundamentals. It's not that it wasn't overpriced. It's not those things. Investors will hold stocks that they believe are going to go up. And I'm talking about people who do it for a living. They sell anything they think is going to go down. And that's what they're doing right now. They're betting against the United States and Joe Biden. And we got 3 years left of this. And I don't know what the heck is going to happen, but it is definitely a frightening situation. There are T-shirts available if you don't like Dr. Fauci. Kansas Senator Dr. Roger Marshall at KansansForMarshall.com is selling $29 T-shirts with Fauci on them. And underneath him, it says moron. In quotations. As we know, Dr. Fauci famously called Roger Marshall a moron. Roger Marshall has turned around and sold these on his site. I would encourage any of you to go buy one of these shirts. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't say state of Kansas. It doesn't say, I didn't see any Roger Marshall stuff on it, really. But it's at his website. And you can buy your Fauci moron t-shirt now at KansansForMarshall.com. $29. KansansForMarshall.com. They're unisex, but they're multiple sizes. They look like nice enough T-shirts. If you got the guts to wear that one around the house or out to the quick trip run for an iced tea, go for it. Fauci moron T-shirts available, KansansForMarshall.com. I think it's pretty fun that Roger Marshall is inside the head of Dr. Fauci. It probably bothers him when these, you know, he's got other doctors in the Senate questioning him. And boy, if there's one thing we know about doctors, they really think other doctors are impressive. But then you start splitting political lines and look out. And that's what's happened here. And Dr. Roger Marshall is offering up Fauci t-shirts online at KansansForMarshall.com. We have lost a legend, Meatloaf, the rock singer. Meatloaf was born Marvin Lee Adday 74 years ago. He has passed away at the age of 74. He is most famous for his 1977 album, that was really a lot of people thought was a masterpiece by some people who were into orchestra, symphony, a bunch of other people that were really heavily involved. People didn't really know who Meatloaf was. Paradise by the Dashboard Light. You know the song. My wife hates Meatloaf. I got a couple of Meatloaf songs on my playlist, but I got over a couple 2,000 songs in there, so it doesn't come up very often. I hit shuffle, just let it all play. It's pretty random. When it does, she's like, out. It's like Taylor Swift, out. My wife has the strongest opinions on musicians she does not like. I mean, she will not listen to more than 2 seconds of a Taylor Swift song. Just saying. Same way with Meatloaf. Doesn't like him. But she doesn't like the Rolling Stones. But she's not like grabbing for my phone, get that off, when the Stones are on or Meatloaf's on. Taylor Swift, she wants to take a sledgehammer to my phone. Meatloaf, she just dislikes. But this was an epic and monumental record, and this were the days when FM radio, and I was into radio as a kid. I was 13 years old when the album came out. 13-year-old boy. Album comes out. I'm into radio. Those days, FM, KY102 in Kansas City, would play long tracks. They could play 7-minute songs. Hotel California, how long is that song? I mean, there were a lot of songs on the radio then that were considered singles, by big bands that were really long tracks. That was the era. That's gone. Everything now is under 3 minutes. Unless you're just a megastar, then they'll let you do 3.5. But that's it. That's just what radio wants. It's what they play. They can have extended versions, play them in concert, do whatever, but they don't really put them on the radio. Meatloaf broke that down. He had some really long songs. Paradise by the Dashboard Light was one of those songs. It is not exactly a duet, but there's a woman singer in there, and I should have written her name down. It was Ellen something. Not particularly famous, but the song is about him and her. It sounds like they're very young, maybe teenagers, and they're in the car, and they're on a date, maybe at the drive-in or something, and there's Paradise by that Dashboard Light. They're kissing. It's getting hot and heavy. That's what the whole song is about. And in the song, here's how times have changed, because we know what popular music sounds like now. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Everything has explicit on it. It's completely graphic in how young people, I mean, it's, I'm not going there, but this is how, this was so edgy in 1977. In the middle of the song, they go into a place where there's just music in the background, and it becomes, what you gonna do, boy? Yes or no? You know, say you love me forever and ever, and you'll never leave me. If you say yes, there's Paradise by the Dashboard Light, and he's all torn. He's like, I don't know. What should I do? My head is spinning. I want this so bad, but what do I do? And Phil Rizzuto's voice comes on, who's the play-by-play guy in baseball. It was the Yankees, right? Phil Rizzuto? Is it Phil Rizzuto? And he starts, he's out at the first base. All right, and he starts doing this play-by-play thing. He's at third, and he's in there. He's running third. He's headed for home. And, of course, every 13-year-old boy in America knows what this is and what it's about. And you're like, what? So this song is so exciting and unusual, and we don't know, and I don't know, and I'm so green and immature, but I think I kind of understand what's happening, and I just don't know. But there it was for me, and I'm sure my dad hated the song. I'm sure parents didn't like it. The funniest part about the Meatloaf song in 1977 is that he and Phil Rizzuto and others that produced the song say, oh, we don't know anything about any double meaning about the play-by-play part of this song. But he slides into second base. He's there. He's safe. The ball is loose. He's headed for third. He's rounding third. He's headed for home. And they actually said, and this is how media is different now, and how times are more honest, to be honest. We are honest, more honest. Meatloaf and Phil Rizzuto all said, we don't know what that's about. That's just it. We just thought it'd be fun. You know, they're in the car. The game was on the radio while they were there, and Phil Rizzuto was calling a game. There's no double meaning. There's no double meaning. These teenagers are in a car making out, listening to baseball. I don't think so. Are you kidding me? And somehow they got away with that in 1977, and people believed them. It's, oh, no, that was just an accident. We don't know about this double meaning stuff. Yeah, okay. Yeah, Mary Jane's Last Dance has nothing to do with marijuana. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds isn't about LSD. Sure. Yeah, we buy all that stuff. Yeah, we're right in there with you. We will miss Meatloaf. He was a tremendous performer. He was a really large man, and he sweated a lot on stage. But he was different than everyone else, and we like different and like to recognize different here at KKHI. And speaking of different, this is one of the more different announcements. It's a funny thing. I don't even know what to make of this. They say M&Ms are going to become more inclusive in their advertising, that their characters will be more inclusive. I don't know what that means. We've seen the commercials. They're creepy. The alive M&Ms to me are creepy because you know eventually they get eaten. So I think the whole thing is creepy. I don't know why they do it. M&Ms are a great candy. I love M&Ms. I just love both kinds, but mostly the peanut ones. I love them. I could eat them every day. I don't understand what they need to do. This is really funny. Why do they need to have the M&M characters in their advertising be more inclusive? They're round. They're generic. They have no gender features whatsoever. And they're every color under the rainbow. What on earth could you do with the M&M advertisement characters to make them more inclusive? What could this possibly be? You have every color. There's no gender features on them. I think this is one of the strangest things ever. Why do companies do this? Why do they put statements like this out and say we're going to be more inclusive? Now, maybe they get rid of them altogether. Maybe it's the campaign that they do that they don't actually change the caricature. I don't know. But I've never thought of an M&M's commercial not being inclusive. I've not. I've thought of them as creepy. You know, you want to like the little M&M's, but I watch them and all I can think of is somebody's going to eat those. They're dead. They're alive and they're dead. They're alive, they're dead. I don't look at cows that way. I don't look at a cow and see a cheeseburger. I don't. When I see a cartoon M&M, I think, man, I'd eat that. I don't see a cow and go, I want to eat that. I don't know what they're striving for. The world is nuts, folks. Have a great weekend. There's a lot of great football. Hope you have a wonderful, wonderful time. We got a big college basketball game, KU and K-State playing Saturday afternoon. That'll be fun. Nobody will see it. It's on streaming. It's not on TV, and it's up against the NFL playoffs. You want to kill college basketball in Kansas City, this is how you do it. You have KU and K-State play on a streaming service on a Saturday afternoon up against the NFL playoffs. That will do it. That's the way to kill college basketball. Just keep driving stakes in college basketball. They're doing everything they can to kill the sport and make it less interesting and appealing to the fans. They're doing everything they can, including this weekend. But if you're really into KU or K-State, you'll find a way to see the game. You can always stream it, or most sports bars, I think, would have it. I would think the Johnny's locations would play the KU game, not the NFL game. For my money, not for me. I'd rather watch the NFL and have the other one on a small screen where I can just keep an eye on the score. So I think we know how that game's going to end. Here are my picks for the weekend, folks. These are my picks. Winning outright, not against the spread. Winning outright. I'll take the Bengals over the Titans. Joe Burrow with 3 touchdown passes gets it done. I will take the Packers in a much more competitive game than people think. I will take the Packers over the 49ers. I'll take the Rams to hold Tom Brady and the Bucks to 17 points. He's going to hold them to 17 as the Rams beat Tampa. And ever so slightly, I am leaning Chiefs, but I don't have a great feeling about this game. So I'm going Bengals, Packers, Rams, Chiefs. That would mean next week, the Bengals would be at Arrowhead to play Kansas City, and the Rams would be in Green Bay to play the Packers in the championship games. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening to Kevin Kietzman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Kietzman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.